with me to Exodus 27. We've got a long way to go this morning.
Sure, we're getting here.
I was queuing one up just for somebody. The title of the message, From the Person to the Work of Christ. The last couple of weeks we've been looking at dealing with the tabernacle proper, in which we find furniture made of gold. Now we move out to the court, where we see furniture made of brass. While the gold emphasized the person of Christ, now we are focused on the work of Christ. We need to understand both His person and His work to understand who He is. We need to understand both His person and His work so that we understand why He came and what He accomplished for you and me. He was a person when He wrapped Himself in the incarnation in flesh. He was a person when He suffered every temptation known to you and me and yet was without sin. His work, from start to finish, was to show the way to the Father. Indeed, even before the crucifixion, Jesus said what in John chapter 14? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. His work was to show the way to the Father. Today we're going to look at the brazen altar, the court, the oil, Aaron and his sons, the ephod, and the robe. Exodus 27, the first 8 verses. And thou shalt make an altar of sheet of wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. And thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof. His horn shall be the same, and thou shalt overlay it with brass. And thou shalt make his pans to receive his ashes, and his shovels, and his basins, and his flesh hooks, and his fire pans. All the vessels thereof thou shalt make of brass. And thou shalt make for it a grate of network of brass. And upon the neck shalt thou make 4 brazen rings in the 4 corners thereof. And thou shalt put it under the compass of the altar beneath, that the neck may be even to the midst of the altar. And thou shalt make staves for the altar, staves of sheet of wood, and overlay them with brass. And the staves shall be put into the rings, and the staves shall be upon the rings, and the staves and the 2 sides of the altar to bear it. Hollow with boards shalt thou make it, as it was showed thee in the mount, so shall they make it. Lord Jesus, we bow before you, we thank you. We thank you that we come not to this brazen altar alone, but rather that you first pass this brazen altar. You first pass this brazen altar when you lay down your life willingly for us. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. The brass represents judgment of sin. For indeed, you cannot get to the tabernacle proper. You cannot get to that which we looked at the last couple of weeks without first approaching, without first passing, without first encountering the brazen altar. Sin must be addressed. Sin must be dealt. Sin must be settled within the court. There can be no sin once we arrive in the holy place. When you and me come into communion, when you and me come to worship God, we must have pure hands and a clean heart. If man wants to meet God and not die, then there must be a substitute. That's what the brazen altar was for. The lamb, the sacrifice, would be placed upon that altar as a substitute for the children of Israel. Fast forward, and we see in the cross the substitute made for you and for me. Christ died in your stead. Eric just read that in Ephesians chapter 4, 25 through chapter 5, verse 5. If you and me are in Christ, if He has truly died in your stead, if you've confessed your sin and repented of your sin, if you've submitted your life to Him, then guess what? You are set apart. You are holy. You have Christ's imputed righteousness in you. Christ is the burnt offering that was placed on that brazen altar. And as the burnt offering, that offering was consumed, signifying the consumption of your sin. When the priest would lay his hands on the sacrifice, the sins of the people were placed upon that sacrifice. And then the sacrifice would be consumed along with the sins of the people. When Jesus went to the cross, God laid your sins and mine upon His Son Jesus. And your sins were consumed by the shed blood of Jesus. The cross was God's chosen altar. Jesus had to die, and He had to die on the cross. He couldn't just die of old age for you and me. He couldn't just die by being gored to death by an oxen. He couldn't just die by plunging Himself from the pinnacle of the temple. Rather, He had to die on the cross. At the brazen altar, a victim must be sacrificed, claimed as the substitute. Turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 29. We'll read through 34. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John, this being John the Baptist, seeth Jesus coming unto him, and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is He of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now think about that. John is actually older than Jesus. John's ministry starts before Jesus. But John says to the people, This is He whom I said is to be preferred before me. John's ministry is a passing, a fleeting ministry. As John would later say, Jesus must increase, John must decrease. Even though John was biologically older than Jesus, he says Jesus was before him. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Man could not worship or serve until he came to that brazen altar. Back up just a couple of verses. Chapter 1, verse 9. We'll read through the 13th verse. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The one who is the Son of God gave you and me power to become sons of God. The one who is the only begotten Son of God gave you and me the power to become adopted sons of God. If Jesus had not gone by the brazen altar, we would have no access to God. Think about that. Without the cross, you and me are dead in our sins. Without the cross, you and me are lost. Without the cross, you and me are doomed and damned to hell. The entrance to heaven. I'm sorry, there is no entrance to heaven except by the cross. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. Trying to keep my Bible from falling apart as I turn the pages. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6. We'll read through the 10th verse. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts, and 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. There is no entrance to heaven except by the cross. The one who sits on the throne is the very one who is the Lamb slain upon the cross. See the tabernacle, chapter 27, verse 9. We'll read through the verse 19. And thou shalt take two onyx stones, and grave the names of the children of Israel, six of their names on one stone, and the other six names of the rest on the other stone, according to their birth, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold. I jumped over one chapter. Thank you. 27 verse 9 is where I should have been. All the same sermon, wrong chapter. And thou shalt make the court of the tabernacle for the side southward. There shall be hangings for the court of fine twined linen, of 100 cubits long from one side, and 20 pillars thereof for the 20 sockets shall be of the brass. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets shall be of silver. And likewise, the north side, in length, there shall be hangings of 100 cubits long, and his 20 pillars, and their 20 sockets of brass, and hooks of the pillars, and their fillets of silver. And the breadth of the court on the west side shall be hangings of 50 cubits, their pillars 10, and their sockets 10. And the breadth of the court on the east side eastward shall be 50 cubits. The hangings of one side of the gate shall be 15 cubits, their pillars 3, and three their sockets 3. And the other side shall be hangings 15 cubits, their pillars 3, and their sockets 3. And for the gate of the court shall be a hanging of 20 cubits, of blue, purple, and scarlet, fine twined linen, wrought with needlework, and their pillars shall be 4, and their sockets 4. That all the pillars round about the court be filleted with silver, their hooks shall be silver, their sockets of brass. The length of the court shall be 100 cubits, and the breadth 50, the height 5, of fine twined linen, their sockets of brass. All the vessels of the tabernacle, and all the service thereof, and all the pins thereof, shall, and all the pins of the court shall be of fine brass. These colors tell the story of the incarnation. In the incarnation, we see that Jesus came from heaven, signified by the blue. His humanity and bloodshed were represented by scarlet, and his kingship was represented by purple. And we see a fence around this tabernacle. That fence kept those who were outside separated from those who were within. There is a clear distinction by that fence of who's within the tabernacle from those who are outside of the tabernacle. In the same way, there is a clear distinction of those who are in Christ from those who are outside of Christ. We read in Sunday school, in Galatians chapter 5, the works of the flesh, the works of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering. These are the fruit of the Spirit. And we also saw the works of the flesh. And of the works of the flesh shall no man be justified, and of the works of the flesh shall no man inherit the kingdom of heaven. So where are you? Are you within the tabernacle? Or are you outside of the tabernacle? Are you in Christ? Or are you outside of Christ? Are you characterized by the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit? Or are you characterized by the works of the flesh? The oil in verses 20 and 21. Thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure olive oil beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto the generations on the behalf of the children of Israel. Oil speaks of what? Oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says what? It's not by power, nor by might, but by my Spirit, said the Lord. You and me cannot muster up enough power. You and me cannot muster up enough might, but it's His Spirit that works in you and me to do and to accomplish His good will. The Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ and shows them to you and me. Turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 15. We'll read down to the 27th verse. John 14, 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. So here we see Jesus speaking. He refers to the Father, and he's requesting another comforter. What do we see here? We see the Trinity, the Godhead, one God, three persons, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall also live. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas said to him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not into the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So what is the job of the Holy Spirit? The job of the Holy Spirit is not to bring attention to himself. The job of the Holy Spirit is to teach you and me, to remind you and me of all things whatsoever Jesus commanded us. Oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, not our power, not our might, that works, showing us that which Jesus taught us. The oil provided light inside the tabernacle where there was no natural sunlight. And what did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16? Jesus said that you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither does someone take a candle and hide it under a bushel, but he puts it front and center in the room so that it gives light to every man. Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 16, we see Jesus walking in the midst of the candlesticks. Who are the candlesticks? The candlesticks are the churches. Jesus is walking amongst the churches. Jesus is the light of the world, and he's, by extension, said that you and me are the light of the world. He's walking. He who is light is walking amongst you and me, whom he made light. Then we see the priesthood. Aaron and his sons were set apart. Don't just pass over those words, set apart. What does it mean to be set apart? When we see the words set apart in Scripture, it means holy. Aaron and his sons weren't holy in and of themselves. In fact, we're going to see later that Nadab and Abihu were consumed because they acted unholy. They acted unworthy. 28, 1 through 5. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that He may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise in earth, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, and they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, an embroidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron my brother and his sons, that he may minister to me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. We don't talk much these days about being consecrated, about being holy. But as Baptists, what do we believe our role is as individuals? We believe in the priesthood of the believer. Jesus is our great high priest. Jesus is the light of the world. And when he said, "You are the light of the world," he was giving you and me his priesthood. He was sending you and me out as his agents in the world, so that wherever you go, you have the task of proclaiming the gospel. Some of us haven't made it. Some of us get paid by the government to preach the gospel. But wherever you go, whether it's the grocery store, the beauty shop, the floral shop, the tax office, wherever you go, if you go to Crossroads, you're there to preach the gospel. You're there set apart, consecrated, holy unto the Lord. The ephod and the breastplate. Pick up in verse 11, because I think I already read verses 6 through 10. With the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold. Thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod, for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his shoulders for a memorial. And thou shalt make ouches of gold and two chains of pure gold at the ends. Of reeven work shalt thou make them, and fasten the reeven chains to the ouches. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work, after the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it. Of gold, blue, purple, scarlet, fine twined linen shalt thou make it. Fourscore, it shall be, being double, a span shall be the length thereof, a span the breadth thereof. Thou shalt set it in its settings of stones. Even four rows of stones. The first row shall be sardis, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. And the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. The fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. And the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with his name shall be according to the 12 tribes. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate chains at the ends of the reeven work of pure gold. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate two rings of gold, and shall put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. And thou shalt put the two wreathed chains of gold in the two rings, which are the ends of the breastplate. And the other two ends of the two wreathed chains thou shalt fasten to the two ouches, and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And thou shalt make two rings of gold, and thou shalt put them on the two ends of the breastplate, in the border thereof, which is in the side of the ephod, inward. And two other rings of gold thou shalt make, and shall put them on the two sides of the ephod, underneath, toward the forepart thereof, over against the other coupling thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. And they shall bind the breastplate by the rings thereof, under the rings of the ephod, with a lace of blue, that it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and the breastplate be not loosed from the ephod. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place for memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put it in the breastplate of judgment, the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart, when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. The high priest had the task of carrying Israel on his shoulders. Get that picture in your mind. The high priest has this ephod, this breastplate, with these stones, with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, six on one side, six on the other, upon his shoulders. And as he goes into the holy place, and as he goes even into the most holy place, he's going with the people on his shoulders. Christ saves by strength and by power. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23. We'll read through 25. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, Jesus, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that came unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What was the job of the priest when he went in to the holy place, the most holy place, with these 12 stones with the names of the 12 tribes on them, to make intercession for the people, showing Jesus' strength and Jesus' power as Jesus goes in to the most holy place, not here on earth, but in heaven, where Jesus is not a priest that dies and goes into the ground, but died and was resurrected and ministers on your behalf and mine in heaven. Jesus carries you and me on his shoulders. You remember the parable of Luke 15? You have the lost coin, the lost son, and in between there you have the lost sheep. The shepherd had 100 sheep. One goes astray. 99 stay in the fold. The shepherd goes after the one. He places the one on his shoulders. Jesus carries you and me on his shoulders like that shepherd. Now think about this though. When that shepherd placed the lamb on his shoulders, you know what he did before he placed the lamb on his shoulders? He broke the leg. Broke the leg as discipline for straying, as discipline for going out where there was danger. But he didn't just break the leg and leave the lamb to fend for itself, but rather he takes the lamb with that broken leg and places it on his shoulders and goes back to the 99 and celebrates that this one lost sheep is now found. Jesus, our high priest, has you and me on his shoulders. You and me are sinners. There's none among us who are righteous. There's none among us who does good. There's none among us who doesn't wander off like that sheep. And when we wander off, what does he do? He has to discipline us. Woe be to the one who's without discipline, because what does the writer of Hebrews say about that? One who's without discipline. He's not a son, but he's a master. If you and me are chastened, if you and me are disciplined by the Lord, it's because we're sons. We've been adopted into the Lord's family. And he carries us, though disciplined we be, on his shoulders. The ephod and the breastplate were worn together as a thing of judgment and beauty. As a thing of judgment and beauty covering the vile part. The ephod and the breastplate covered the priest. Vile heart. That priest in the Old Testament was a man just like you and me. He had the limitations just like you and me. He pointed forward, yes, to our great high priest. But he was just a shadow, just a type. He was a man like you and me with a vile heart. What does Jeremiah say about the heart? It's deceptive and deceived. It's vile. The heart is dead. The 12 stones were found also in the book of Revelation, where they formed the foundation of the New Jerusalem. Get that picture. These same 12 stones that are on that ephod, that are carried on the shoulders of the priest, are the same 12 stones that form the foundation for the New Jerusalem. Let us never go to the extremes. Let us never go to the extreme of dispensationalism where we forget the prophets, the law, the covenants. But let us never go to the opposite extreme where we view ourselves as replacements to Israel. We are grafted in. There is true Israel. You and me were wild olive branches, as Eric read about earlier in Sunday school. And we were cut out of wild olive trees and grafted in. We don't replace true Israel, but we're grafted in to true Israel. We are now a part of true Israel. Won't get into the Urim and Thummim, because you know what? We don't know what that was. Probably some sort of stone. Whatever it was God's means of revealing His will to His people. We don't have the details as far as what the Urim and Thummim was, because you know what? If we have the details, somebody today would try to duplicate them and turn it into an idol. So God providentially left out the details of these two items because He wants you and me to go to Him for the answers. And finally, verse 31, we see the robe. Thou shalt make the robe of the ephod of all blue, and there shall be a hole in the top of it, in the midst thereof. It shall be a binding woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of an harbinger, that it be not rent. And beneath, upon the hem of it, thou shalt make pomegranates of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, round about the hem of it thereof. the bells of gold between them round about. A gold bell and a pomegranate. A gold upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister. And his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, when he cometh out, that he die not. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold engraved upon it, like the engravings of the signet. Holiness. Holiness. Holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre shall be. It shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. And it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen. And thou shalt make the mitre of fine linen. And thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. And for Aaron's sons, I shall make coats, and I shall make for them girdles and bonnets, shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. And I shall put them upon Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him. And I shall anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them. Don't let that description get past you. Thou shalt anoint, consecrate, sanctify. Three words really mean the same thing. It's not anoint, consecrate, sanctify, but rather God is trying to get your attention and mine. These items show His work in redemption. And because they show His work in redemption, He is giving emphasis to what we are to do with these items. We're to anoint, we're to consecrate, we're to sanctify, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins, even unto the thighs, they shall reach. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him. So he speaks of pomegranates and he speaks of bells. The pomegranates are your fruit. The bells are your witness. What fruit are you producing? What fruit are you presenting to the world around you? And does your witness, is your witness shown in your fruit? Some folks have a witness, but they lack fruit. And other folks have fruit, but lack witness, and it takes both. One leads to dead, dry orthodoxy. The other leads to liberalism. You don't have a choice as to whether you have a witness or fruit. If you are a child of God, if you have been redeemed, you're going to have fruit and you're going to have witness. Eric read from Galatians 5, 22 through 26 earlier in Sunday school. We don't need to repeat that. But think about those bells that made the sound when Aaron the high priest was in the tabernacle, was in the most holy place. This was a room that only the high priest could go into. The bells served a very practical purpose, because as long as those outside in the holy place could hear the bells in the most holy place, They knew that everything was okay. If those bells went silent, it meant that the witness was dead. And if the witness was dead, then those outside surely didn't want to go in after him. Because he had sinned. He had blood on his hands. How much worse were they? And so that's why they reached the point of tying a rope around the high priest's ankle. By the way, if those bells went silent, if the witness died, they could pull him out. God wants you to be a fruit that witnesses to His truth. God wants no display of the flesh. There can be no nudity in service to Him. These clothes are for the coverings for the priest. These clothes don't bring glory to the individual wearing them, but rather they bring glory to God. These clothes, whether it's the ephod or the breastplate or the robe or the breeches, they all point forward in typology to the Lord Jesus and the work that He did on your behalf and mine. You and me don't come into the Lord's presence with our own displays of the flesh. We don't come into the Lord's presence and do signs and miracles so that people will look and say, look, He's got the anointing of the Spirit. Can God work through His saints to bring about signs and miracles? Yes, He can. But if God does a miracle through any of us, guess what? He's getting the glory. If we get the glory, then we've entered into His presence nude and naked. And we'll be struck down as dead witnesses, bearing no fruit. Our Lord and our God, we bow before You. We thank You for the witness of Your Son Jesus. We thank You for the fruit of His ministry. As Your Spirit was breathed upon the apostles, as they preached boldly, who were formerly timid, Lord, we stand on their shoulders. We pray, Lord, that we would be characterized by Your fruit, love, displaying joy, peace, and patience, and long-suffering, tenderness. Lord, we pray that we would be fruit that is appealing, giving witness to the tree of life. We pray that our fruit not be bruised and not be rotten. We pray, Lord, that we would recognize that if we be in You, if we be in You, we are set apart, holy, sanctified, anointed, consecrated. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today,